Hello, my name is Evan DeMarsh. I'm the executive editor of the Trends Journal. I'm happy to be here today with Professor Mohammad Mirandi, a friend of the Trends Journal. He's from the University of Tehran. Professor Mirandi, how are you doing in Tehran?
I'm okay, Edmund. As you know, Trump and Netanyahu, they are focusing on civilian targets. They're bombing pharmaceutical companies. They're bombing apartment blocks. They're bombing civilian bridges. And Trump is gloating about the crimes against humanity that he's carrying out. And Western media has no problem with that. Their problem is whether they will succeed or not. So we're, you know, it's painful to see people suffer, but the Iranian people are resilient, and this is a war of aggression, and they have to ensure that the United States does not succeed, and that it fails in these vicious acts of aggression.
We spoke before going on air about Trump's speech last night. It's Thursday, April 2. And we spoke about his speech last night and how he really didn't say anything new. You said that you were not surprised by that. Can you tell me why you didn't expect there to be any major announcements? Why Trump continues to sound so lost in his own narrative? I think Americans, even Americans who support the war, the few that do, even they don't know. I don't think many people can understand why we're here and where we're headed. Can you talk to me about why Trump, even during an address to the nation where he has time not to speak off the cuff, he has time to write a script, he can read it. Why is it impossible for the White House to come up with one clear narrative for the American people? Last night was their night, and they didn't take it, and they didn't do it.
Well, it's not because I know more than anyone else. I just thought that based on the language that Trump has been using during the last month, and the fact that he constantly contradicts himself, and one day he says one thing, and another day he says the exact opposite. 1 hour he says one thing, then a couple of hours later he says the exact opposite. Based on that, I thought that last night would be much of the same. And actually, to be blunt about it, I haven't even listened to his speech. I've just read a few lines of it from the news. I think that the issue is that he doesn't have an argument. Just as Joe Kent has pointed out, Iran wasn't a threat. Iran wasn't developing a nuclear weapon. And therefore, what can Trump say? That I'm carrying out this war because the Zionist lobby demands it, because Netanyahu demands it? He can't say that. So he has to just ramble on and speak about different things because he can't say the truth, because the truth is humiliating. He's not in charge. He's not the boss. He's not the real president of the United States. That's how I see it, at least.
One of the big topics that's reported in the U.S. media are these negotiations with Iran. You hear different stories about what's going on and how far along they are, or if they're even taking place. Pakistan is playing a middleman and trying to sit down and come to the table and get the war over with. Can you offer our viewers any new insight into Trump's claims that there are negotiations underway with Iran? Or if that is truly not happening and there's no interaction whatsoever? I know the foreign minister from Iran said that it's a lot different when there's direct negotiations and there's middlemen doing the negotiating, or at least half-hearted negotiations. That was the way he kind of put it. Are there negotiations right now between Iran and the U.S.? And do you see us getting anywhere closer to the war ending?
No, there are no negotiations taking place between the two sides. And the message sent to Pakistan was nothing new. Messages go back and forth all the time. They've been going back and forth for decades. Sometimes it's Oman, sometimes it could be Russia, sometimes it could be other third parties. Sometimes it's direct, through the Swiss embassy or through other means. Messages constantly go back and forth. Trump made a big deal out of this, I think, to and distorted the reality to manage markets. He's been doing that for a long time now, with some success. But we have no negotiations. Of course, at some point, yes, there will have to be an agreement when Iran's demands are met. And it's clear for the Iranians that a ceasefire is meaningless, because all it will lead to is Trump and Netanyahu, two very sinister and deceitful people, rearming, regrouping, and then attacking Iran in a few months' time or a year's time. So this route is just not acceptable for Iran. But if Iran's demands are met where it feels secure, and excuse me, if Iran's demands are met and it feels secure that and ensure that in future the United States will not be able to launch another act of war against the Iranian people like it did this time around, and if other demands are met, reparations from these Arab family dictatorships in the Persian Gulf, and so on. And of course, in Lebanon and elsewhere, we have to see people able to live in peace without terrorism from Tel Aviv. Then, of course, the fighting could stop. But under these circumstances, no, I don't see any chance for a ceasefire just taking place with what's going on right now.
Who would the White House need to negotiate with in Iran to come up with a ceasefire or the end of the war? Because we have the Iranian president. Can you just explain to us who, and then you have the lead of the Ayatollah, who would the US need to speak to ultimately get that decision made? Like, what's the hierarchy? Because the president, is that something more of a symbolic position in Iran, and the true leadership as far as these kind of decisions, would that rest in the new with Khomeini's son right now? Would that be essentially how it goes?
No, the president is very important. He is the second most important figure in the country, and he's also the head of the Supreme National Security Council. But the Supreme National Security Council has members, and members who are in the armed forces, in the administration, and appointees of the leader. And that council decides on key foreign policy issues and strategic affairs, of course, with the approval ultimately of the leader. So it is just like it has been over the last few decades. As long as this cons as long as we've ever since we've had the Supreme National Security Council, all these issues go through that body.
Got it. Now, are you surprised we're still at war, Professor? I spoke to you the night that the war started, and there were bombs that you heard in the background during our discussion. Now we're over a month in. Are you surprised that Trump is still waging this war, given his background of just, backing out and not fulfilling, promises? Are you surprised we're here at all, Professor?
No, I was convinced from the very beginning that he is not in charge, and that this war is being carried out for the sake of the Israeli regime and because of the Zionist lobby. What Joe Kent said in his resignation letter is something that I think many of us, or at least some of us, knew for a very, very long time. That's what we always believe, and all he did was confirm what was, in my opinion, should have been common knowledge. So the Israeli regime has been going on with its genocidal war in Gaza for 2.5 years. It has been assaulting the people of Lebanon and slaughtering women and children, bringing down apartment blocks. It has destroyed Syria in a dirty war with the collaboration of these Arab family dictatorships and Erdogan under the umbrella of a US CIA operation. It is ambitions in this region, which the U.S. ambassador to the Israeli regime has basically admitted. He said that if the Israeli regime takes the entire region, it's fine. And I think that is U.S. unofficial U.S. policy. So when before the war started, I was convinced that there would be war, and I was also convinced that the war would last a significant period of time. Now, I don't know how much longer it will last, but I did believe it would not have been over within a month.
I think it was Lindsey Graham who said yesterday that they should start arming Iranian protesters, that the US should somehow arm protesters, because now that's the Trump story, that the reason why there haven't been large protests now, like we saw, or at least was reported back in January, is because the Iranian regime has killed protesters, and these protesters that would be materializing aren't because they are unarmed. That's what Trump's talking about, and that's what the administration's line is. Do you think what's your response to those kind of claims that they should start funneling in money and weapons to arm an uprising in Iran? Is that a sign of desperation in your view, or is that a sign of what their true ultimate goal is? Professor, we spoke before. They wanted regime change, they didn't get it. Now, are they looking to fracture Iran? Is that now option B, and is that what's happening right now?
Well, that is not a an honest statement that he made. The United States has always been arming people inside Iran. What we saw on January 8th and 9th was an armed insurrection where they killed hundreds of police officers, and those weapons came from abroad. That's something that Israeli regime Channel 14 openly said, and that TV channel is linked to close to Netanyahu. So when hundreds of officers are killed within 48 hours, that tells a very clear story. And they are constantly providing weapons to groups in Pakistan's Balochistan to attack Iran. They constantly fund terrorist organizations and support them and finance them in northern Iraq. And they fund terrorist organizations like the MEK. I think probably well over a couple of $1 billion a year. That's not a new policy. That's what they've been doing all along. What they want is a broken West Asia. They want a fragmented West Asia because that's what Israel wants. The Israeli regime wants West Asia to be broken so that it could dominate the region. And Lindsey Graham and Donald Trump are basically, in my view, pawns of the Zionist lobby.
All right, my last question for you, Professor, and again, thank you for joining. Everyone will have the link to Professor Mirandi's X account below. It's the nuclear issue is never too far from these discussions. I think Trump mentioned it a lot. He mentioned it a lot during his speech last night. And I heard some really smart people. I heard a professor from MIT, I'm forgetting his name, Posel, I think his name was. Anyway, he said that there's about, we've talked about this, how there's missing uranium in Iran. And I heard another person say that if the US pulls out and stops the war, it doesn't obviously mean Israel's going to stop. And this one analyst said, and I'm sorry, I forget his name, that then Israel could potentially use a nuclear weapon to some degree in Iran. And then it's this professor from MIT, Posel, who said he believes that Iran would be able to respond to a nuclear strike by quickly creating its own nuclear weapon because of its enriched uranium. Do you see this war dangerously close to reaching a nuclear threshold, Professor? Is that something that's not realistic?
I don't know the future, obviously. What I can say is that the very fact that you ask this question shows how sinister the Israeli regime and the Trump regime are, that you can actually contemplate something that no sane person would ever even think about. And it just shows the nature of these two regimes. that they have no morality whatsoever. They are utterly supremacists and evil. And that is exactly why countries across the world are moving away from the United States. And I think that this very same language, this talk, this feeling that you've pointed out is going to create an incentive across the world for countries to develop nuclear weapons. Because when a maniac is in charge in the White House, a psychopath, and psychopaths rule over Tel Aviv, then I think people across the world, countries, governments, will say to themselves that the only way that we can protect ourselves is with nuclear weapons. So Trump is and his the evil acts that he's carrying out against the Iranian people is the most important incentive, I think, for countries to develop nuclear weapons. And with the rise of AI and the new technologies, I think it's going to be much easier in future for countries to have those nuclear weapons.
Yeah,
So the more
oh.
they threaten using nuclear weapons, the closer we are to multiple countries moving in that direction.
Because you don't see North Korea being invaded right now. You don't see any problems with North Korea. They and Kim Jong-un, he prides himself on that. He just gave a speech recently. But Professor Mirandi, always a pleasure to see you. Please stay safe.
Thank you.